The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to an audio show about audio events from ghosts.
You won a prize of almost. If you said audio one more time in that sentence, you might have won a prize.
It sounded like you were trying to pitch some dumb movie idea or audio drama or some shit.
What? Well, I wasn't. I was talking about today's topic, the stone tape theory. Like, you would know a movie pitch from your ass anyway.
I have my first feature length coming out this summer. The trailer drops next Thursday.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What the fuck are you talking about?
Kyle, hit them with the teaser.
On it.
Oh, Lord.
The film which you're about to see is an account of the tragedy which befell a group of middle-aged black-edged schlubs.
Uh-oh.
In particular, Bert Hand and his obtuse co-host, David Flora. It's all the more tragic in that they were nowhere near young. But, had they lived very, very long lives, they could
this
not
is,
have...
This is going on forever.
...nor would they have wished to see as much of the mad and macabre as they were to see that day. For them... An idyllic recording session became a nightmare. The events of that day were to lead to the discovery of one of the most bizarre
crimes in the annals of
American history.
Because I feel like
history.
I'm watching the goddamn movie.
The Illinois Robot Anglo Massacre.
That's no John Larroquette, I'll tell you that right now.
So, okay. So you got drunk on bot booze. You stole the intro to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and you changed it just enough to make it like 40 hours long and suck somehow. Am I getting close there?
And not get sued, fingers crossed?
You just don't understand art.
Okay. And there's no movie there. That's the extent of it, right? It's just
fuck
as
you.
Long as a movie?
Fuck you.
Right, right. Yep. You got a double fuck you there. Moving on, thank God. We are your hosts. I'm Brent Hand, and he's David Flora.
Hey.
You've heard from the Robot Peanut Gallery already, so our condolences for that. We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, with a ghostly echo coming from parts unknown, Colorado.
Ooh, nicely done on the ghostly echo, because that's our topic this week. The stone tape theory.
Nice. Noise.
Noise. Noise, eh? You know, we mentioned this when we talked to George Popoff about his documentary Side World, Damnation Village.
This was one of the types of hauntings that happened in England, according to him and everyone else, because that place is fucking haunted. I don't know if you know that or not. That's just, welcome to England. Here's your ghost guide. That's how that works.
I thought you were going to say, here's your ghost.
Here's your ghost.
Everybody gets a free ghost. Annie and I got one.
Well, the ghost is your guide also. Like, hey, I'll show you all the places I died. Ooh.
Ghosts don't want to be seen with Americans.
That's true.
This is a fascinating idea that we wanted to visit on its own with its own episode and, you know, give it a little more attention which it deserves.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about you give us the 411 on what stone tape theory is?
For sure. So in short, stone tape theory is a theory that ghosts and hauntings are comparable, that is, to tape recordings, the end, full stop.
Okay. I think you gave us the four. I was looking for a little bit longer.
You need
on the
one,
four,
one here. All right.
Yeah.
Experts, which I'm sure are said experts because of their correspondence school certifications, they proclaim that mental impressions during emotional or traumatic events can be projected in the form of energy. AKA, what if a house could remember everything that's happened in it. And that energy is recorded onto rocks and other items and replayed under certain circumstances or certain conditions. So when something tragic or traumatic happens, the energy from the event carves itself into the surroundings, so to speak. And that event can play on repeat throughout time, like a recording or an echo, going and echoing through time. You've heard of residual hauntings like this or replaying events over and over, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Residual
that's all
haunting.
That residual hauntings are, right?
Yeah, that's the same. It's just enough. So the term residual hauntings, this is a way of explaining them, I would say. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Why is there always some bad event, though, and not like some wild threesome you were super pumped to be a part of that just keeps replaying on repeat, and then you can just have people come in and watch it?
I have no answer to that, Brent, and I am trying to get to the bottom of it.
I scream into the abyss. to clarify, this is saying that hauntings, rather than being the spirits of the dead, that's not what this is. These are not ghosts at all. These are imprints left behind by those who were in these places before you and I and everyone else, stuck in a forever loop to repeat like an old movie. But not just sounds. I know in the beginning we said audio a lot. Images, people, animals, parties, clinking of plates. Like, you know, it sounds like there's a bunch of people having a dinner and there's no one there.
Horses whinnying.
Yeah.
Or the crash of a cart in a swamp. Daniel Radcliffe trying to figure out what happened to the estate he's trying to... No, I'm just kidding. That's
right.
That's the woman in black.
This name, though, it comes from a specific place. Where's that place, David?
The place where everybody gets a ghost, Ingoland.
That's right, right. Specifically, there's this 1972 Christmas ghost story, or just whatever you want to call it.
Speaking of the woman in black.
What's that?
Speaking of the woman in black.
Oh, right, right.
I love their Christmas ghost stories.
This one was called The Stone Tape, produced by BBC, and it followed, let me say that again. It's called The Stone Tape. It was produced by BBC, and following the show's popularity, the idea and the term stone tape were retrospectively, and some say inaccurately, attributed to the British archaeologist turned parapsychologist T.C. Lethbridge, who believed that ghosts were not spirits of the deceased, but were simply non-interactive recordings similar to a movie. And there you have it, the stone tape theory. A bit on the show itself, though, kind of, you know, glided over that. And there's this group of researchers, and they're trying to find out memories are being recorded on the stones of this Victorian manor. And a lot of it happens in this room, where they have all sorts of crazy equipment.
A stone room?
Yeah, oh yeah. And they're screaming as a David, but in a you know, a British accent. And not just being a clever name, the film shows stones taking a tape recording of events and then later playing them back on loop without explanation for scared witnesses. And the people really liked this movie, and they looked at this and said, that's it, stone tape theory. And they ran with it. And if you want to watch it, it's available on YouTube for free, and I have a link in the notes. It's actually worth watching, and it was popular for a reason. It was pretty good. It's actually an entertaining movie.
Huh.
Yeah, who knew? The British. They make entertaining stuff from time to time. Yeah. You know, less, you know, screwdrivers and phone booths than this one, but, you know, it's still entertaining. Still entertaining. Anyway, before I alienate everyone, break time. When we come back, we talk about how it might work, and do we have some examples? Probably. All that and more coming up on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so It's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
Welcome. Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. You're welcome.
Brent.
Yes.
How the fuck do events record themselves onto stones and whatnot?
Magic. Moving on.
I don't know. I was not talking to you, but he's right.
Full stop. End. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might have worked as an answer to get you burned at the stake a few centuries ago, though. That's kind of, you know, we probably need some more info on that. Tell us about it.
Well, so there's this idea that environmental elements are capable of storing traces of human thoughts or emotion, and that's not new, but it's been shaped and changed throughout the years.
Science! Or I'm sorry, I said the wrong. Pseudoscience!
Science-ish!
I'm a scientician, thank you very much. Scientific.
It was introduced by multiple 19th century scholars and philosophers as an attempt to provide natural explanations for supernatural phenomena.
That makes sense in a way, because if people are reporting these things, why wouldn't people try to? Well, now I'll tell you why people wouldn't try to use science, because they lose their jobs. But before that, it makes sense that people would try to figure these things out, right? You know,
well,
if people are coming forward.
I think we're still trying.
Right. Yeah. I just mean, there's a lot of sneering and, you know,
sure.
I don't know, glances, but keep going. Sorry.
I get you. It's still frowned upon by the science community.
Right.
And you basically have to have a reclusive billionaire to fund any of these serious projects.
Luckily, we've had a few of those in the last few years. Bigelow.
Yeah.
Bigelow.
Yeah.
Look up here.
I don't, you know, and this might be a little bit of a tangent, but I don't mind trying to find ways to test these things.
No.
Because that's still doing science and it's still providing answers. You know, it's just people don't like it when the answer is, no, there's nothing here. There's nothing to this.
But if you were to experience this and want an answer, I understand why you would be fighting for that. You know?
And I think if you can come up with, you know, plausible, I guess, hypotheses to test and then do it, why not? You know,
right.
That gives you an answer. That gives people something to point to to explain things away.
Yeah.
If it comes across kind of silly to
ye
begin with,
old you know? Fuck around and find out hypothesis.
Yeah. As opposed to just being like the hardcore non-believer, hardcore skeptic, I guess. You're not really a skeptic at that point. If you just go, that can't be true, that's impossible, oh. No.
Speaking you know? Of, Chris Cogswell messaged me this week, and he wants to do another Mad Blurry Hysteria soon.
Oh, is he still alive?
I know, right?
He went. He's down. He's probably moved three times since.
He fell into Mel's hole, so we're going to see what he looks like when he comes out. It's going to be interesting.
Anyways, I don't know if anybody can understand this truly. So we'll try to use science to, you know, explain ghosts and shit. In 1837, there was this cat named Charles Babbage who was referred to as a polymath at the time, and he had a theory. Have you heard of polymath before?
I had not heard that term, but I did look it up, and it kind of just means a jack of all trades. Studied in, or he has studied in many different things.
Yeah, you would consider, I think, like Leonardo da Vinci,
right? As a polymath. Yeah, you know, science and mathematics, and when I say and science, multiple different,
art.
Right? Engineering and chemistry, and you know, things that go against natural order and God. Sorry, no, that's just my own. Sorry, that came out.
Anyway, he published a work on natural theology called The Ninth Bridgewater Treatise. Wonder why Bridgewater is so attached to legends and superstitions and going.
I don't know. It's almost like it needs its own triangle. Oh, wait, it has one.
He also knew how to calculate the area of that triangle. Knew? Babbage believed that spoken words leave permanent impressions in the air, even though they become inaudible after time.
Now, I mean, there is... when you speak, it does make impressions in the air, I guess, sound waves, and the air moves, but that's not the same as, I think, what he was saying, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I have to believe so, because he said it's possible due to transfer of motion between particles. That's how fucking sound works.
Right.
Yes. Yes, yeah,
but
Charles
then
Babbage.
He says, boom, you got a memory of an impression or
well,
an
that's
event.
The thing. The sound works that way, but it's like imagine dipping your finger in a glass of water.
Right.
The waves that are created, that's the sound. They're propagating through the medium of water, and they'll dissipate. It'll stop. It won't stay there and ripple forever, nor can you go in the future, you know, and see these ripples. Anyway,
now,
unless
interestingly,
you, I
though,
guess, freeze it, and then you can see the ripples, but
I
they
guess.
Don't tell you anything about
right.
his fingers.
You can't
or
listen
whatever.
To what was said or the what. Yeah, you can get the fingerprint, so to speak. I remember when we were talking to George, though, George Popov, he did talk about some of these seemed like they were decaying over time, almost like an echo. Like it wasn't as strong or it's harder to see or it was shorter events, things like that. Which maybe gives credence to that, you know, if you believe that these things are actually happening or, you know, that's
if that were the case.
Right.
Then wouldn't people be hearing the shit out of stuff just, you know, after they leave the room and step back in?
You would think so, but it's got to be the right conditions and you got to be the right person to be able to hear it. We're going to learn that. But anyway.
These are some pretty long chains, and they're on wheels. Let's just say that.
Yeah. So that was my chains. I was dragging them. Stone tape theory could also be derived from this other concept I was looking up called place memory. There was this place called the Society for Psychical Research, who we've talked about a lot on here in past episodes. They kind of had their fingers in everything back in the day. They did anything that had to do with like psychic research. They were into it. So. In the early days, place memory was considered an explanation for ghostly apparitions seemingly connected with certain places. People keep seeing or hearing the same thing in one place. Boom! Place memory, which now has been called stone tape theory since the 70s. But in the late 19th century, two of the Society for Psychical Research involved investigators, these two guys, Edmund Gurney and Eleanor Sedgwick, I guess not guys, but people, presented views about certain buildings or materials being capable of storing records of past events, which I guess can be played back later by what they called, another quote unquote here, gifted individuals. They were answering one of your questions. Not schlubs like us. Gifted fucks, you see. That's how it goes. And then another 19th century idea associated with the stone. I keep thinking STP, but it's STT. STT theory.
Yeah, the Stone Temple Pilot theory.
the Stone Temple pilot theory, yeah. Is psychometry? Psychometry? I wrote it there.
Psychometry, I think. Psychometry, yeah. Or if you like it, the Interstate Love song theory.
A belief that it is possible to obtain knowledge about history associated with an object through physical contact with it. We see that in movies a lot. A bit like if you saw the new Wednesday in the series, though. Hers comes from people also, not just objects. But you get the idea. You touch it and you go,
I think
there was a firefight, but a little bit different.
That's a classic thing, and it's kind of gotten more associated with superheroes now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's some there's an X-Man that could do that or something.
I'm sure there is, yeah. Then in the 20th century, that's the 1900s for you youngsters that like to remind us we were born in said 1900s. Someone said that to me at a bar one time. I'd heard it as like a joke before, and I didn't like it. Oh, you're born in the 1900s. Yeah, and now you're going to die.
back when we still had a livable climate
and
water.
Anyway, the idea that objects are able to store and play back past events was reintroduced in 1939 and 1940 by the invention of the reel-to-reel machine. No, by the then Society for Psychical Research president, H.H. Price.
I bet that gig comes with a lot of groupies.
Nothing screams ass-getter like a business card for the head of a psychical research place. I bet it says, like, the Vag Slayer Price himself on there or some shit like that.
Or Cock Slayer. We don't discriminate in the lower fourth.
That's true, and I feel bad for saying that. More like Arch Coxman Price, you know, an all-encompassing.
There you go.
Right, exactly. Thanks for keeping us on track there, Kyle.
Nothing also screams ass-getter like me in traffic with road rage. You ass-getter! Get out of the way, you fucking ass-getter!
Oh. He speculated about psychic ether as an intermediate medium between spiritual and physical reality. Like there is this other plane of existence almost, which was, or it could enable objects to carry memory, traces of emotions or experiences from the past.
To me, it seems like dark matter or something like that.
Right. Know? Which, you know, maybe it is. We don't really know.
It could be that orgone energy accumulating in the air.
It's ectoplasm, you know.
Yeah,
it looks a lot like cotton. It's weird and it's easy to photograph, you know. But, you know, reasons, scientific reasons. This was a society, so they had to be coming up with stuff at all times. Anyway, Mr. Coxman, Arch Coxman, H.H. Price, in his work, he stated that the existence of such traces should be provable by means of scientific method. Spoiler, they remain unproven hypotheses still to this day, but they should be.
What?
Should be provable. Maybe we just haven't gotten there yet. Maybe.
Well,
I don't know. Full stop.
That's the classic convenience excuse. Well, we just don't have ways to test them. That doesn't mean they're
testable. I could teach you this too if I knew anything about it, but I don't. So you're fucked. That's the way this works. Moving on. Following Price's ideas, someone whose resume kicks ass, get ready. Hope you got your socks on tight. Archaeologist turned paranormal researcher.
Wait, my socks. I got to strap my socks in.
Here we go. Archaeologist turned paranormal researcher, Thomas Charles Lethbridge, or T.C. Lethbridge, if you're nasty, you know.
I'm nasty.
Yeah, I dig it, man. I dig it. Archaeologist turned paranormal researcher is just, that's delicious. And I feel... Can't you just claim that you were both of those, though? Do you really need a lot of... I don't know. Anyway, I'm getting in the weeds there.
Isn't that Brendan Fraser in The Mummy?
I think you just said...
No, I guess he's an adventurer. He's not an archaeologist, is he?
Say Rachel it like Weiss. Razor. You said his name right. No one says his name right. Brendan Fraser.
I remember that old Comedy Central commercial from the late 90s where he was like, if you say Frasier, I know where you live.
Frasier. So old TC claimed that past events can be stored in objects thanks to fields of energy that he believed to surround streams, forests, and mountains, almost kind of like ley lines.
That but sounds he was, like animism.
Yeah, you just what's animism? I'm not familiar.
It's everything has a spirit. Everything is connected.
No, that's Animorphs, and that's something different. That was a cartoon.
Sorry.
You dumb bastard. Apologize, and we'll go on. And now David doesn't want to do the show with me anymore. So it's so weird. His 1961 book, Ghost and Ghoul, popularized these ideas. Ghost and Ghoul, singular.
Yeah.
They're going to fight MMA style.
Ghosts and goblins coming on the heels of this on the Nintendo.
Right. So anyway, his ideas in Ghost and Ghoul, which brought these. So it's kind of like this forming of these ideas passed down from one person to the next. And then finally, the 61 book Ghost and Ghoul is what is believed to have inspired the creators of The Stone Tape, that movie from 72 on BBC, which we mentioned before. Which you can watch in the comfort of your own home or wherever you choose.
Wow. Well, Brent, theories are all well and good. I want to talk examples, but I want to do it after a break.
You got it, sir. We'll talk said examples after this on Hysteria 5-1. My question, and I hope we'll have examples or talk about things, is how does crap like this get trapped and stuck on repeat?
Wow. A question. And I'm glad you asked that. And I'm happy for you to ask other questions in the future. Like right now, why don't you try a different question?
Why did my dad love Hee-Haw?
That I could answer much more easily.
pass two. How many mulligans do I get? I don't know. What do the experts say? Why do they think this is happening? I use experts in air quotes because, you know, this is a visual medium.
Well, ancient astronaut theorists.
Could
say,
it be?
Moist rocks seem to be the best conductors of this old energy in these theories, such as dank old abandoned buildings as well as forests and rivers. But the conditions under which a stone tape may replay and how much it records or how much it chooses to play back is a mystery.
It's convenient, isn't it? I'll never tell. I'm not going to do it. I just chose to play a little bit different. I'm not going to do the whole thing. I'm just going to tease you with it. But he's not going to see it. Only you, because I don't like his shirt. Like, what? How's that work?
I mean, that's why old houses and castles and caves and, you know, nether regions seem to have the most hauntings. They have the right conditions for this to take place.
I guess, but, you know.
Well, let me give you a caveat. Lethbridge says only those sensitive to the energy emitted by the stone would be visited by ghostly sounds and apparitions and visions.
I guess that could be why some people have the paranormal experience and others don't while at the same place. Or, you know, maybe it only happens sporadically, right?
Sure.
David, what are some of the famous hauntings you've talked about that would fit the bill? Or have you talked about things that could be explained away as stone tape events, so to speak, on Blurry Hysteria or anything like that?
Well, there's a wide array of stuff because to me this mostly falls in the residual haunting category.
Right, yeah.
But you've got the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall. That's probably one that, you know, they would say is attached to it. How about Gettysburg?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just constantly stuck in that. Yeah.
Any battlefield ghosts, you know, would fall into this, I think. The funny thing is I read something about about the Gettysburg battlefield is that people who give ghost tours say that the area is full of granite, which is good for imprinting these kinds of impressions
so it's
because
all
of the quartz.
Starting to come together, Pepper. Starting to come together.
Well, it's not granite. It's a different kind of rock
there. And just like that, you take it away from me. just like the Queen Mary, you know, the Queen Mary, the old ship, man. We did, Lisa and I did a tour on it before we did our episode a long time ago. And people have, like, the one guy who got trapped in the doorway and cut, you know, he got cut. And that, they say that energy, it happens over and over and over again. And that would seem, you know, it doesn't have to be stone, I'm sure, but like it is interesting that, you know, that's another one of those things where they have the same things, these stone tape events, supposedly.
Yeah. I would also refer people to some pop culture that is, I think, directly influenced by this, in particular. The series Fringe. Did you ever watch Fringe?
No, I didn't. Surprisingly.
Oh, it's fun. I enjoyed it.
And I've heard nothing but that. Everyone tells me I'd love it. I haven't watched it.
It's they have this part, they have this comeback a couple times as a plot device where they can take audio impressions that have been impressed into window panes, glass. And they have a special microscope or audioscope or something that they use to get these impressions out of the glass and replay them so that they can know what happened at that crime scene.
Of course. It's almost too easy. Hey, so, go to the window. I need to know what really happened here.
This is a thing that people have played with, too. We can talk about it. Let's come back to this.
Okay.
Don't let me forget about it. But I'll talk about. I think what I've read, people have found with this.
Cool. Yeah. Well. So I guess the question is, and we'll skip around a little bit, but like, is it real? You know, is the big question. And you know, well, when I say is it real, what do people, not just these guys studying it, say? So there's this book in it, How to Think About Weird Things: Critical Thinking for a New Age. Theodore Schick and Louis Vaughn, the authors there, dismiss the idea as an irrational claim, stating, and here's a quote, "The problem is that we know of no mechanism that could record such information in a stone or play it back. And therein lies the main issue." Yep. It sounds awesome, but there's zero proof of concept in any scientific study out there, any scientific-based study.
No empirical study has been able to replicate this
or asterisk
figured out,
at least that the public has been made privy to.
Sure. Sure, man.
Because I don't want to get those emails. You know. Speaking of emails, are you familiar with Corey Good? The guy who was on Mars fighting for like 20 years and then brought back and, you know, all that crazy shit.
Did he talk about Obama being on Mars too?
Or wasn't it, it wasn't Obama, wasn't it like Donald Rumsfeld or something like that? Anyway, he was just deposed in these under oath, and it's all a lie. He just came out and said it was all a lie. MUFON were big into, he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. He just came out and said it was all a lie. It's being trickled out now, his video of his.
That was under duress, Brent. Learn how to spot the difference.
Son of a bitch.
He had to do that to protect the rest of us.
I'm just a sheep. I know it. You know, so anyway.
Wake up, Brent.
I'm not sure if you know this or not, David, but bricks and rocks and shit just don't have the same properties as your old tape-to-tape cassette deck or your fucking ViewMaster growing up. That's really the problem is, so how do you go from one to the other? How do you take from, you know, a rock and make it into that? Sharon Hill, science educator and geologist, not quite as cool as archaeologist turned paranormal researcher, but Sharon, there's still time, claims that stone tape theory is a misleading term, as it suggests to encompass structure, credibility, and explanatory power or scientific theory, while in reality, it's just a speculation that lacks any physical basis. It's just a grasping at straws. But, you know, geologists, what do they know about rock and shit, you know? So, God. Anyway.
Sounds like somebody's gotten to her first.
Yep. I'd tell you what, they probably got to her right after Corey Good. According to her, it's an attempt to present a pseudoscientific claim in a seemingly scientific style. I've never heard of such nonsense. Who would do something like that?
Do what?
It feels like that is the meat and potatoes here on Hysteria 51 is people using pseudoscience in claims of, you know, scientific style and blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Okay. What's the over-under on the when quantum comes into play here?
Hill suspects that quantum. No,
I'll take the under on that one.
Sharon thinks that the kernel of the idea of stone tape is psychometry, which is criticized for being a form of cold reading rather than an unexplained supernatural phenomenon. People go in and they do cold readings, and cold readings are more like, you know,
this is the, I'm getting an M. Did someone have a relative die?
Oh, yeah.
With an initial M, maybe an R.
She was a mother. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's what's coming through.
And she died. She's here right with there. You. She's dying inside. But the question then becomes, how does that explain any of this to people who swear they've truly experienced these things? And that's where I don't know. Because there are thousands or millions of people, and over the years, millions, I'm sure, that say they have seen these things. They're not all liars at all.
Well, no, but there's a difference between being a liar and being mis...
So that's the point. So
mistaken, sorry.
Right. So then you have to differentiate between those things. That's a hard thing to do. And were you mistaken, or could there be paranormal things that we don't understand because of all the other dimensions out there, the fourth and fifth and sixth and things like that? It wouldn't surprise me if 100 years from now we're looking back and be like, oh yeah, it wasn't stone tape theory per se, but it was something else. Or sure. It's all great, just though. Bullshit, you know, who knows?
Yeah. You got to be careful when you speculate about these things because you may be fabricating something from imagination in order to explain it. And when you do that, that is a big old red flag.
Imagination. You're right. And the other thing is, too, is you got researchers. If they're not open to it, they're probably not going to find it. And if they're too open to it, they're going to find
really
it.
They're going to find it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's the happy medium? And a lot of people that aren't really open to it.
Wait. It's me, David, the happy medium. hey, guys, I'm getting somebody that's loving afterlife, and they think you're doing great. Does anybody have a relative that's name starts with T? Maybe it's male. It could be female. I don't know. Could be non-binary. It's one of those, though. Anybody?
No one? No one.
Did anybody have a relative that breathed air?
Who had a bowel movement anybody? Today?
Yeah. Happy medium.
I'm happy medium. Welcome to happy medium.
Here's your tarot reading. It's great.
Yeah. You're going to have things happen to you. Some good, some bad. Try to make the best of it. See you next week on happy medium. Question time, because I've got a few here and we got to get back to what you're saying. Why are some places haunted and others not, when conditions seem to be the same? Because I've been in a lot of dank, dark basements for various reasons. And a lot of them, nothing's happened, you know? So
I'll answer that for you. That's because not every one of those you were in has had a massively tragic death or something incredibly traumatic happen.
And also maybe I'm not open to it or open to that kind of thing.
I'll ask you this too. So when I was in Glasgow, I was taking a haunted tour, and the tour guide was talking about there was an alley, and he said that this Russian witch that was on the tour with him got this, like, suddenly just started crying and was like, there's someone who died here tragically. And he was like, I was just about to tell her that there was a guy that died here tragically, you know, in the 1800s. And he was like, How do you explain that? How does anybody explain that this woman got this exactly correct? And I'm like, how did someone guess that there was a tragic death on a street in 1800s Glasgow from a young male? And then I was like, great, you know, it's great that it was in this alley or whatever, but there's alleys all over the place in this city. People got run over in the street. That was traumatic. Why isn't it feel like, why is this woman not bawling everywhere she goes every time she steps out of the house?
Yeah, right. And that's, yeah.
I think that goes to your question, you know, why some places but not others? Because there's plenty of places where tragedy has happened and nobody has said anything about seeing or hearing or experiencing anything in those spots.
Because he just died. Yeah. It wasn't very dramatic. I knew this was going to happen. Oh, crap. Here we go.
So, I've got a lot to talk about, but I'll let you keep going.
No, I mean that was it. You know, my question was why some places and why are some people open to it and some not? But you know, I don't have the answer.
Because they're not.
maybe, or some people are open to it but don't want to be. I think maybe, as I've heard, I don't know.
You hear that, but it's all fucking anecdotes, man.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no way to test that. There's no way to. You'd have to do all these double-blind studies probably to try and test that to see, like, you have to know exactly what happened, and then that person has to say, well, this is exactly what happened. And, I mean, it's hard enough to test. You can't just videotape somebody, traumatically killing someone else and then be like, all right, let's get a psychic in here. Now tell us exactly what happened. And then you can compare what they say to what the film said, but then they could have access to the film. I don't know, but it just reeks of bullshit, this one in particular to me, because of the way sound and matter work. Sound doesn't leave an imprint anywhere unless it's very specific, like a very high intensity sound wave going into something like molten rock or molten glass, you know, something that could actually form and then freeze and solidify.
Right. Yeah.
Otherwise the molecular structure of things, especially rocks, I mean, that's dense. It's not going to be
how
like you talk to
it
and it records like a vinyl record.
Right.
The vinyl's soft when it records anyway. Like that's I can't think of a better analogy for this, because the vinyl grooves in a record, that is recorded sound. You know, a needle has recorded grooves in a way that the same needle will play it back later. But you're not talking about needles and vinyl with this. And that's one thing, right? And let's even put aside how sound dissipates as it travels, because think of sound as it's waves in the air. The air, which by the way is not 100% static, it's going to move. So it's not like the air is this gelatinous cube where you see something inside of it that's been there for forever. The air waves, the molecules in the air are moving by these sound waves. Think of it as a sound starts off as a pea, gets to a golf ball, gets to a baseball, gets to a basketball. That's the sound expanding through the air, right? At the speed of sound. And when it does that, it dissipates. Think of the surface area of a pea.
Yeah, you have diminishing returns. It's not the same as it expands out.
The surface of a pea, if you expanded it to a basketball, you know, and it still stayed intact, it's going to be so stretched and so thin. That's the same way that sound works. Just imagine it stretching and stretching until everything just breaks apart and floats off. Now, sound generates heat. The molecules bumping into each other, it causes heat very minusculely, but that's the bump, you know, that's the friction of the molecules. And that sound, the waves turn into that heat and dissipate. And the further away you are, the less you're going to either experience it or hear it, the less it's potent, right?
So then so how that's is why that you, carving itself into solid
how
stone?
How is that exactly doing that? How is it? There's no way that air retains any of that information anyway. So that's one thing. Another thing is, if these things are doing this, you mentioned this, how do they select what to record and what not to?
Magic.
Right.
No. How does if these things were recording sound, they'd be recording sound nonstop, unless there was some magical thing that just recorded the exact one exact moment. Who chooses what? How does it choose?
I'll tell you who. That goddamn Sasquatch.
It was the Sasquatch that did it. But how does the Sasquatch replay it?
Right.
What? How does it decide which part to replay or when or where? Like,
yeah.
There's so many things that people just kind of don't even think about and just accept shit like this when they hear it.
Barometric pressure. That's how.
Now that's a funny thing. You should mention that because pressure in a system helps sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pressure from the waves. You know, if it's more intense, it's going to go further.
Right.
But yeah, it's little stuff like this that I just don't understand why people can just hear something and go, you know what, that sounds great. I'm going to believe it.
Right.
What?
Because sometimes it's easier because you want to believe it. Or you've had an experience and maybe this explains it somehow. I don't know. I don't know.
It sounds like it explains it.
That's
why I think this keeps going, right?
Yeah. Science be damned. You don't have to have that as long as it just ticks off the boxes you're looking for, so to speak. You know what
Which
I mean?
Which is confirmation bias, and that's so dangerous. And, you know, I poked a little fun at it earlier, but there are plenty of things we don't know that we don't know, and that includes how to test them and what equipment to use and all that stuff.
That's one of the most terrifying things in my life is the things I don't know that I don't know. That, like, keeps me sure. up at night. I'm serious. Like, that's just one of those things, like, I don't know. It's that existential crisis dread thing. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Keep going.
That's, yeah, no, I get you. I mean, but at the same time, what can you do about it? So, fuck it.
Worry. Worry. I'll tell you that right now.
So,
I'm
yeah.
around Kevin
I,
too much.
I think there are plenty of things out there that, you know, we haven't developed equipment to test, probably. We don't know what to test. If there is something like ghosts or even, let's just say, interdimensional beings, things like that, yeah, we don't have the means to test that. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try.
Right.
Right? Like you were saying.
Yeah.
But until someone can replicate this in a controlled setting and have results come from this and be able to do this, produce it over and over, it just falls into pseudoscience. And it doesn't matter that we haven't figured it out yet. It's up until this point, it's still pseudoscience until you can figure out a way to reproduce it.
Yeah.
And up until that point, it's just anecdotes. And I think there's way too many people out there who want to feel important by saying, I'm sensitive. I can feel this. No one else can.
Right.
That's for them. It's not for anything else. That's so they can, you know, deal with that existential dread that you and I deal with in other ways.
Right. Life's funny like that, isn't it? Yeah. I guess my big question is for everyone. Are we off base? Have you experienced these things and you're like, you guys are fucking stupid, or one of these days they are going to solve this, or do you think it's all BS?
I still believe one day they could solve it.
Yeah,
I'm
right. That's
kind of
what I was
impossible.
Saying in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want anybody to mistake, you know, I think that's part of being skeptical is that you're open to changes. You're open to learning new things and accepting new information. And until new information comes in that I can accept that makes sense, I don't believe in the
right
this sort of thing. I don't think that you can talk to a rock and then 50 years later you can get that recording out of that rock.
I love you, rock. You're going to go places.
I think I mentioned it, but how does it – what's the mechanism to replay it? And right, if it's an image, how is it projecting?
Right.
If it's imprinted in the rock, how is it then getting up out of that rock – In a hologram for all intents and purposes.
Right. Yeah, and if this is true, this is some technology we need to grasp.
And there's one more thing, Brent, I just remembered.
Yeah. I'm listening.
Well, people say this is attached to trauma. These are very high emotion. How the fuck does the rock know that it's high emotion?
Maybe that's
emotion is a human construct.
Right, but maybe it changes. I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm searching for my answer. Something to do with the trauma makes it more powerful, the energy.
And what does that mean though?
I have no clue. I'm making it up on the spot.
See, that's and because you'd get answers like that.
Right.
But energy's energy, man. It's whatever you're doing there, if you die tragically, you're screaming, it's horrendous, it's still just sound waves.
Mm-hmm.
Until you can scientifically reproduce some kind of effect that high emotion has on something else, and the way to convey that is either with sound.
Right.
Or with something made up, like mental imaging or telepathy or something, you know, like, and right now that there's been plenty of tests for things like telepathy, and it's still kind of out, the jury's out.
Yeah. Yeah.
They haven't been able to replicate anything. Until you can figure something like that out, then this is just bunk.
Right.
There's nothing to it. It's still just energy is just energy.
Yeah. Unless we're, you know, I have no answer to that. You're right. Like, unless it's just something that we aren't understanding yet. And like you said, we'll one day understand, then I'm,
which is kind of a cop out.
No, it absolutely
is.
Most answers to these things are, until you find
make
out
it less
you were
fun,
right.
But
until you find out you're right in the end on your guess, you go, I knew it. Called that one.
Right.
No, I don't know.
Told you assholes. So
if they want to tell us that we're right or wrong, or tell us about these situations that maybe they've even experienced, how can they do that?
All you have to do is leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. That's 773-669-7277. You could go to hysteria51.com to look for all kinds of ways either to get in touch with us, or you could join the Facebook Hysteria Nation group.
Woo.
You can check out the Hysteria 51 page at facebook.com/hysteria51pod. Most of the social media you can find on hysteria51.com. Mm-hmm. You could just tell somebody, be like, listen to these bumbling
scream it into the sky, and I'm sure
Arch Coxman,
yeah. Scream in the sky, and I'm sure one of those Chinese balloons will hear you, and they'll spread the word. It'll be fine.
Yeah. We're huge in China because they spy on us all the time.
We're also kind of tall, so that helps too. Yeah, guys, tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a loved one. What you got going on? Anything over in your avenues?
Yeah, I got the first part of my History of the Devil episode out on Blurry Photos.
The Devil Part 1.
I'm very proud of it. I still have to write and record Part 2, but just talk about origins of the old many-handed one, the father of lies himself.
Scratch.
I think it's very, very interesting. I think you're going to learn some fun stuff.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. How many parts is it going to be?
Just two, I think. I mean, part one was an hour and a half. I probably could have split it into like four parts.
Yeah, no, I get you. But yeah.
There's so much. I mean, it's comparative mythology. It's religious history. And just history in general. So there's a ton to sift through.
And you know, it's all 100% true. That's your takeaway. Every bit of it. Spoiler alert, the devil's real and Stone Tape Theory isn't. So that's your takeaway this week. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet Sax.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.